She was this gun-toting, whiskey-drinking broad.
The super epic fucking broad.
She was a pioneer in the industry.
She's also so famous and so controversial.
So controversial.
So she's kind of a big fucking deal.
Her story is so incredible.
She belongs on this podcast because she's a broad you should know. Hello and welcome to Broads You Should Know, the podcast about amazing and noteworthy women from history. I am your host, Sarah Gorski, and I am here today with Amelia Hamel.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Amelia. I'm so Hi. Glad to see your face again.
I know. We're the dynamic duo of Broads You Should Know.
Yeah, I really feel like I'm really feeling the camaraderie. It's
Absolutely.
Really nice.
Well, and I think that you and I are also nerds in very similar ways. You know, we're both big readers.
We're nerds. We're raging feminists.
The
whole package.
You know, we believe in human rights. Crazy.
Jinx.
Exactly. I owe you a Coke, apparently.
Oh.
But yeah, no, the things that we've had to talk about on, you know, even just you and me when we talk
I love it.
Regular times.
Yeah, we talk a lot off the mic too. Like, audience, if you think we talk a lot on the mic,
wait till the camera turns off.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but today you have brought a broad today.
Yes.
And I actually don't think I know friggin' anything about this broad, which makes me extra excited to learn. Who did you bring today?
So today I brought Mary Baker Eddy. Now, if you've heard this name before, that's awesome, but you may not know very much about her.
I heard the name, but I'm like, is she an inventor or is she a civil rights activist or is she a writer?
She actually invented founded the religion of Christian Science. That is the religion I was raised in as a kid. And I just want to be really clear. I didn't bring her here today to try and convert anyone. You'll never get me to say anything bad about Christian Science, but I actually am no longer a practicing Christian scientist.
Well, you know what? I feel like, you know, I like to be a know-it-all about everything. I don't know anything about Christian Science, to be honest with you.
So I am also
fascinated.
Yeah. So I'll give you like kind of the Cliff's Notes version. All right.
Okay.
And then we'll go more in depth with her. But I think that, you know, not just because I was raised in the religion, and in my family, the women were always the strong, amazing women.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up by amazing women, especially in my mother's side, which is the side of my family that was Christian Scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, the fact that this religion was founded by a woman, a very, you know, ballsy woman at that, for especially the time that she was around and the time that she actually formed this. You know, it was just always kind of a piece of pride for me, especially as a little kid in a religion that most people didn't understand, to be like, Mary Baker Eddy's amazing, so whatever.
I don't feel like any religions, other religions I've heard of were started by women.
I mean, I'm sure that they're out there, but they're usually founded by men. Let's be real.
Like L. Ron Hubbard and like...
L. Ron Hubbard or
Mormonism,
Joseph
the Magic Underwear Man,
Mormonism. No, I think it was John Smith or something. I don't know. Anyway,
yikes.
But Christian Science, in a nutshell, is the word science means the study of. So literally, the name of the religion is, you know, the study of Christianity and of Christ. And the main thing that people usually know about the religion without really looking into it is that Christian Scientists don't go to doctors. They don't rely on Western medicine or medicine at all. They rely on prayer and mind above matter.
Like refuse to go to the hospital type stuff? Like
Some of them are like that. Yeah. I mean, there's varying degrees of people, but once we go through her background a little bit, you'll start to see why this was the direction that she went.
Yeah. Now, I think the only thing I know about you guys, the only thing I know about Christian Science is how many reading rooms, like Christian Science reading rooms there are. I feel like I see those around a lot of places.
Yeah. So every church is required to actually have one. That's actually part of the thing. Every church has to have a reading room. And then once a year they have to have a lecture of some sorts for the community. And then there's also the Christian Science Monitor, which is still a very well-respected newspaper.
And reading rooms are basically bookstores or libraries?
Yeah. They're kind of like bookstores, but you can also borrow books from them and stuff. It depends.
Well, that's nice. But are they like only Christian books though? Like, is it just stuff that's like published internally?
They're only Christian Science books, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
But that's where you would go to learn about anything or to do some studying or anything like that. And I mean, I can't imagine that anyone who works in a Christian Science reading room would not just, you know, be happy to explain things to you if you ever went in. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be some cute little lady who's like, you come on in, I'm going to show you the kids' books, you know?
I feel like more than once I was like, is that a bookstore? Should I go in? Because I like love bookstores and I'm obsessed with bookstores. And then I'm like, I have a feeling that's not the kind of bookstore I want it to be.
It's not woo-woo in any way, but they are primarily books on Christian Science. So,
okay, I'll stop interrupting.
It's totally fine. And like I said at the tip top, even though I'm no longer a practicing Christian scientist, you're never going to find me talking ill of that religion. I'm really, really grateful for my upbringing. And
yeah, fair. That's a fair thing to say.
Absolutely. So Mary Baker Eddy, when she was born in 1821.
1821. Woof.
So she was an American. She was born in, sorry, my notes got jumbled, in New Hampshire.
Okay.
She was sick for a good part of her childhood. She was the youngest of six children. Oh. And she did spend quite a bit of time. Now, what I didn't realize until I was actually doing the research for talking with you today was that she was not the only one who was questioning Christianity in general. Apparently, this was kind of a trend at the time in the United States of people being like, nah, the puritanical thing, I don't know so much. You know what I mean? And they started questioning religion and started really trying to decide like what they want the future to be and how they wanted to study Christianity. And she was very devout, but she was unhappy with most of the Protestant churches that she was coming across. And, you know, she really took it upon herself to learn and to teach and to really study, which is where she got the study up. She was really turning it into a science of trying to figure this whole Christianity thing out. And the one thing, and I'm going to say it the way that my mom used to say it when I was a kid, was that she read it and said, well, Jesus never went to the doctor. Jesus never, you know, did all of these things. So why do we? And so she really came up with this theory that sickness was all in your head. And that anything going on with you could be cured if you just figured out what the internal turmoil was and got in a good space with God through prayer.
Okay. Like that. Not exactly science, but okay.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's what I'm saying. The word science technically means the study of. So that's really all that is. She was really devout in studying Christianity and Jesus and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Now, because this was a religion that was founded in the United States, one cool thing that not a lot of people know is that we actually go to church on Thanksgiving, but not on Christmas.
Interesting.
Because she liked the idea. She was like, everybody goes to church on Christmas. So like, we don't need to do that. We love Jesus all the time, but I do like this idea of this holiday where it's about being thankful and being, you know, for what you have and what you've been given.
So she kind of picked the holiday she liked.
Which I just always, you know, I mean, it was one of those things as a kid, I remember thinking it was weird that we went to church on Thanksgiving, but I was like, I liked going to church. It was fun, you know.
Did you have like a church turkey dinner and stuff? Like, did you do the thing?
No, we would just go to a regular service in the morning and then we'd go home and have Thanksgiving. So it wasn't like anything special. It just happened to come on Thursday once.
Well, all holidays are kind of borrowed anyway. Like, we know this from all of our previous episodes of like, you know, Easter is a combination of XYZ and Christmas is a combination of XYZ, you know, half of which are from not Christianity. Like no, they rolled in all
pagan
these
and
pagan holidays. Yeah, because when the Roman Empire conquered everybody, they were like, you know, it's easier to just roll things together than to try to convince people their ideas are wrong. And so they just kind of
exactly. But she was a really fascinating person because she really had a lot of stuff happen in her life that could have broken someone down. And she just never let it.
Okay.
So when she was 20 years old, I believe. Yes. When she was 20 years old, she got married. And her husband died 6 months into their marriage.
What? What happened?
And it was right. Let's see.
I'm assuming he was also kind of young. Yeah.
He was not, actually. I think he was older. You know, that seems to be the thing recently. It doesn't say how he died here, and I don't honestly remember. Mary Baker married a promising young building contractor, Washington Glover. And then she moved with him to the Carolinas, and he died like 6 months later. She was 6 months pregnant at the time with their child, George.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh.
Especially in those days.
6 months married, pregnant. And like all of a sudden,
you're like 20 something.
It must have been a crazy accident or something
crazy. Yeah, I'm assuming. I mean, although in those days, you never know.
Yeah.
She continued to have health struggles throughout her entire life. One of the more devastating ones was that when she was living in Boston, she actually slipped and broke her hip. And in those days, that was a death sentence.
Kind of. Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was just really nothing she could do. And so she turned to the Bible and her work and her study on those things. And she said that she got a complete healing. But the main thing that she would always focus on was looking at what's behind whatever is going on. Not the slip, obviously. You know what I mean? But just this idea that you could actually put your brain to work and your faith in God to heal yourself in a similar way to the way that Jesus did in the books of the Bible. And she stuck to that throughout her, you know, she doesn't end up publishing Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures until 1875. So it was quite a bit into her life.
She was like 50, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was married 3 times.
Oh,
first husband obviously died. She was married to her second husband for like 20 years. And then they actually ended up getting a divorce. Oh. And then she married her third husband who died.
Oh my gosh.
And her son was actually taken away from her by family. They told him at the age of 12 that she had died and they sent him to Minnesota.
Why?
And she and George didn't see each other again for 20 more years.
Why did they take him away? Was he being
neglected
or something?
There's never anything clear about why they did it other than the fact that they just didn't think she could take care of him. And so her ex's or her former husband's family kind of took over his care and then shipped him off to Minnesota claiming it was best for him. And they kept them apart. When he was 12, they shipped him off and they didn't see each other until he was in his 30s.
Oh my gosh, that is insane to me.
So she had like a really kind of a tragic life, but it was also very much surrounded by like really cool, great people. And once again, I'm not trying to convert anybody. You don't have to believe in any of this. That's fine. I just always found her to be this really inspirational woman because no matter how many times someone threw something at her, whether it be the death of a husband or, you know, not getting to see her child for 20 years or whatever, she always handled it with grace, and she lived to be 89 years old.
So she didn't publish till she was 50, but at that point she had already been building like the organization, right? Like
she didn't actually start the church until after the book came out. And it's called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and basically it's a companion to the Bible. And she'd worked on it for a very long time. And so if you go to a Christian Science church during a service, what they will actually do is they'll have two readers. One will read excerpts from the Bible, and then the other one will read the excerpts from Science and Health that actually go with that section of the Bible. And it will talk about, and it's basically her just getting through the bullshit in the Bible, a lot of the sexist stuff, all of those things. But I think my favorite thing...
Sexist stuff in the Bible. What are you talking about?
You know what, you're right. There's nothing sexist about the Bible at all. One of my favorite things is every single Christian Science church has to have the words God is love above the podium.
Mm.
They don't have clergy in the way that other churches do. You actually have elected what they call readers.
Mm.
And they will read and follow, you know, the lesson plans that are set aside for each week. But they, you know, and then they'll, a lot of times, the first reader will come up with excerpts of their own that they will read to the congregation. But we never had clergy in the way that other ones. There's no priest, there's no pastor. They're all elected officials from within the church. And so I grew up in this really great church where everybody really knew each other and everybody loved each other. My dance teacher was also my Sunday school teacher, you know, things like that. And so it was a really great little community. Nobody in my family or in my little church that I grew up in were weird if somebody chose to go to the doctor or to take medicine for something.
Like, you weren't like kicked out.
Yeah. Like, we were not judgmental. Now, I'm not saying that there probably aren't people who take it to more of an extreme.
I can't imagine.
Every religion has extremes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was basically, so in Christian Science, if you need help getting through something, you actually call a person called a practitioner. My grandfather was a practitioner. And they'll pray with you and they'll help you and they'll guide you. And then you work together to see like what's going on. And sure enough, when I was a kid, especially, and I think that that's why I loved growing up with this so much. When I was like, oh, mommy, my tummy hurts or whatever, she would always sit me down and be like, okay, so what's going on at school? Because 9 times out of 10, it was because some kid was being mean to me.
Oh, or somebody to you?
I'll
beat him up. Who is that kid?
I know. Can you believe that?
I'm just kidding. I don't condone beating up kids.
No, little kids. I know, me either. But you know what I mean? It was like, oh, my teacher's being mean to me. And then she'd be like, are they really being mean or are they just making you do your homework? And I'd be like, well, that's mean. And she's like, no. But it's
interesting.
Really cool, and I very much brought that into my adult life. I really do. You know, when things start kind of falling apart, I kind of look and I'm like, so what's going on with me mentally that is bringing me to this place of actually having physical, you know?
I mean, it is all connected. I mean, I totally believe, like,
absolutely,
bodies and minds. And there's a lot of studies about that, really, actually, about, like, the mind-body connection.
I think that there's, like, a magic wand that will cure everyone? Of course not. But I think that if we spent more time looking at the causes behind sometimes things, you know what I mean? Like, I wish that they could do that maybe more, even in, like, doctor's offices and things, because I think that the truth is that she did stumble onto something, and that is the idea that your emotional problems or whatever do a lot of times manifest themselves physically.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's a very, and I could be wrong, so feel free to tell me I'm wrong, or audience, you know what to do, audience. But I do, like, that's a very kind of like Eastern medicine type of philosophy. And Western medicine is just like so vastly different. It's like, here's a pill, fix your stuff.
So like I said, at the time it was becoming really in vogue to question your religion and to really kind of look at it. And what she wanted to create was a non-orthodox, but also a non-super liberal, like something in the middle, like a compromise, because homeopathy, I never say it right. Was very much in vogue at the time, which is like, you know, have some elderberries and some whatever.
Like, some ginger tea and some, all of which actually taste really good and really do help you.
I mean, they calm me down. I don't know. But it was just the idea of not living for the physical, but really for your emotional and your spiritual well-being.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so she was really fascinating, though. She was married 3 times. She, I believe it was her 3rd husband. I'd have to double check. When he passed away, she gave freedom to all the slaves that he had had.
Oh.
And that was really kind of unheard of at that time, to just, you know, she always thought it was wrong, and she didn't have.
Was she still in Carolina at the time?
She moved all over. The mother church, what they call it, is actually in Boston. She spent a lot of time in Boston. But she was, she kind of bounced around all over the place, and then having, multiple husbands, yeah, she kind of had to go where they went.
Because she was kind of an abolitionist before that was
absolutely
popular.
Absolutely. And she just, she had this group, they weren't disciples. I hate it when people call them her disciples, but just this group, and they all studied together. And in her later years, they all just kind of lived together and studied together and like the whole thing.
So how did she build the church? Did she kind of go to new communities and bring her thoughts and just like recruit, or like, how does that happen?
I think it was more that she started the church, and then the people in the church really started making it bigger. She founded the Christian Science Monitor, and she actually wrote multiple versions of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and then kept every time she like had an epiphany and added something or whatever, she would publish it again. So there are actually lots and lots of several versions of the book.
Wow.
As she kind of grew older, and she lived to be 89 with, I don't want to call them followers. She was not a cult leader by any way. She was just a woman who really, truly believed in God and Jesus and all of those things.
You'd say like her congregation, with her flock. With
her little group of people that wanted to study with her and things like that.
Grew to be, it's a pretty big, I feel like I've seen locations in lots of places. Like, it's not a very small religion.
It's worldwide. I remember when I went to London the first time, I went to a Christian Science church there on Sunday, because I was like, why not? I'm in England.
So it's spread all the way overseas.
Absolutely. It's global. Wow. And, once again, I get a little bit crazy, because in my life, if I had really said, take me to the doctor, my mom would have taken me to the doctor. You know what I mean? Or if she had really felt, she wouldn't
have left. If your eyeballs were bleeding and shit,
exactly,
she would
like
go save your eyeball.
Went through my skull, she would have taken me to a doctor,
Yeah.
But for little tiny stomach aches that, 7-year-olds get because they don't want to take their spelling test, it was like the perfect way to grow up, because my mom would be like, is it just because you didn't study for your spelling test? And eventually it would be like, yeah, that's probably why.
Is it spelling? Is that your bad one? You hate spelling?
Oh, yeah. No. And I 100% have a theory as to that. And that's because there was always a spelling test on my birthday. And I was like, but it's my birthday. I shouldn't have to spell on my birthday.
I have like an aversion to math.
Oh yeah. A lot of people do.
Because I had a teacher in like third or fourth grade. One of the elementary school grades who like made fun of me at the whiteboard or the chalkboard when I got things wrong.
No.
And so ever since then, I was always like, I don't really know. I'm not good at math. And I'm like, I think I'm fine at math. Like, I use my calculator a lot because
we have them in our phones. I mean.
But like, sometimes it's the little stuff. It's the little stuff when we get picked on. Spelling tests on your birthday every year.
Every year. Because my birthday's January 7th. So everybody's broke from Christmas.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
That's my birthday.
Shut the front door.
January 7th? Birthday? Are you kidding me right now?
I am not. My birthday is January 7th.
Mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing.
I cannot believe we have not realized this yet.
We have the same birthday.
Now I know why you and I became soulmates immediately. I am, yeah.
Because no one knows how hard it is to be a Capricorn except for other Capricorns.
Exactly, for other Capricorns. I know. Yeah, so everybody's always, they're still hungover from New Year's. They're all broke from Christmas. So my birthday is, and then it was always like the first day we had to go back after Christmas break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or at least that first week.
And so it's a loop in. Everybody who's born between like December 19th and January 10th is like, oh, you're just a holiday birthday. We're too busy.
Yeah, and they just like shove it all together. And luckily my dad had a lot of sympathy for me because his birthday is right by Thanksgiving. And so every couple of years, his birthday is actually on Thanksgiving.
And you get the like Chris birthday gift. You're like,
exactly.
Hey, man. And then those people with July birthdays are like, look at all the gifts I get all year. Not that life's about gifts,
No,
when you're a kid, that's some rough
when
shit.
When you're a kid, it's all about, but I also just thought like, this is my special day. I shouldn't have to do anything I don't want to today.
Well,
and so
you should have been allowed to call in sick.
I know. Unfortunately, my mom was just as big a nerd as me. And she was like, you're going to school.
Like,
if I wasn't allowed to do it's really just about the
I wasn't allowed to call in either. I had to go to school.
Yeah, I had to go to school. But that is hilarious. I cannot believe we have the same birthday and we are just figuring this out right now.
What would Mary think about that?
I mean, divine intervention, obviously. God wants us to be together. But I would encourage people to learn more about Christian Science, you know, if it so moves them, just because it's one of the more misunderstood ones. There's a huge difference between Christian Science and like the people who claim that if you let poisonous snakes bite you, that you're...
I didn't think that's what they...
You know what
were.
I mean? But
it definitely sounds like of all the like more modern meaning like you know, only a couple hundred years old religions, I feel like it sounds like a lot... Not, I don't mean softer in a bad way, but like it sounds like fairly harmless, like people don't get hurt.
Well, yeah, and like, I think that the things that were cool, at least, you know, for me, like we didn't believe in hell. There's no such thing as hell. My mom would always tell me, you know, when Jesus talked about hell, he really meant the dump. That if you don't clean up your life and live right, you're going to have to go eat food out of the dump because that's the only place you're going to be able to get it. Things like that were like, you know, whereas other religions believe in like... the devil, whatever.
There's like weird parallels between some of the stuff you've been saying and like what I understand about like Jehovah Witnesses and like there's
but
some like some interesting similarities
also at the same time when all of these people were questioning the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know Jehovah's Witness stuff particularly well, but I know that, you know, Christian Science is vastly different than like Catholicism and Baptist and, you know, those kind of things. But the main thing that I would say that really drove it home for me as a kid was just this emphasis on the idea that God is love and God loves us and wants us to succeed.
It's not the brimstone. It's not life. The fire brimstone. Yeah,
exactly. Instead of the idea of this God that's like, oh, you said a bad word. You know.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting, Amelia? And like, hopefully I'm not like stepping out of bounds to like say this, but it's so interesting to know how many of those other religions that are more fire and brimstone, like they are so heavily tied to patriarchy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And controlling women and non, and you know, anyone that's like not, you know, cisgender. Like, it's like... And then you have this religion created by a woman that's like, we don't need the fire and brimstone. And like, how much more peaceful and like loving that whole, that's very interesting.
Yeah. And she really did. It was very much just rooted in the idea that God was love. God wanted us to, you know, and that God had given us all the tools that we need to heal ourselves. We just needed to, you know, get to that right headspace.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Wow, thank you for bringing that today, Mary Baker Eddy.
Yeah, so she's definitely, you know, worth looking up. Her life is fascinating, and you know, if you ever see a Christian Scientist, just smile and say hi, because I'm sure that they're lovely, lovely people.
Do they wear like a particular name tag? Like, well, I recognize them on the street.
You just happen upon a, you know, Christian Science reading room and you want to like pop in. They're not going to be weird with you, even if you're just browsing. They're just going
to... Do you all know each other? Like if I pop my head in and I'm like, hey, by the way, Amelia wanted me to say hi. Will they be like, oh yeah, we love Amelia.
I feel like when my grandmother, like, you know, was like a young adult, maybe it was a little bit more like that in your city, perhaps. You know what I mean? Like you all kind of knew each other. Like she was living in... San Diego and Los Angeles at the time. I feel like a little bit like one of her boyfriends along the way had said that it shouldn't be a cross, it should be a knife and a fork, because after church was a big deal for us to always go out to lunch and like just spend time together, and so it was his big thing. And
that sounds tasty.
We carried it on for a pretty long time, you know. So I just thought she'd be an interesting person to bring up and to let people think about it. But I would say that it's one of the more misunderstood. Like a lot of people when I was growing up thought we were Scientologists. And there's no religion on the planet, I think, that's more vastly different from Scientology than Christian Science.
No. And that wasn't even in my mind that they are close to. There's like similarities to how I feel like their original origin-ish, but like their thoughts and like what they do and how they behave.
No,
like,
yeah.
Well, oh my God, no.
Yeah, no, that was, you know, completely different. But people always thought because they had similar names that maybe that they were connected, and they were not in the least.
Well, you know, we live in an age where critical thinking is on the decline.
Especially with the internet. People think they don't have to learn anymore.
Critical thinking is like a skill set now that's like waning.
Something like that. Something like that.
I sometimes hear things from people that don't have good critical thinking skills, and I'm like,
I know.
Oh my gosh. I just want to say it on the podcast because he doesn't listen to this podcast, but I have a neighbor, this little boy. He's a man, obviously, but he's a little boy. And he's like, I'm just going to run the marathon with no training. And I was like, I don't think it's a good idea. Maybe don't do it. And he was like, I'm doing it. And I was like, and then the next day he's like, I finished. And I was like, okay. And then the next day he's like, I can't walk. What do I do? And I was like, I literally told you. I'm like, critical thinking is not there. It's not there.
I have a good friend who runs the LA Marathon all the time. He actually runs marathons all over the country. Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend ran a bunch of marathons.
He's
a runner, like, and he trains constantly. Constantly training. Yeah. Well, and the reason is so that you can walk and don't die at the end of your, like, oh my gosh, I just can't, Amelia.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show again, my birthday twin.
My birthday twin. I can't even fucking believe that.
I know.
Insane. Thank you for being here, Amelia. Mary Baker Eddy is like, what a woman to like create her own, like, her own religion.
And to follow her own and not let people tell her that because she was chronically ill, that was just the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, that took a lot of... Chutzpah.
That is the word I was actually thinking of. Birthday twin. Yeah, you're right. It took a lot of chutzpah. A lot of the broads we talk about on this podcast had a lot of chutzpah, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm not really Jewish. I shouldn't probably use Jewish words, but I think we all know what that means.
As long as we're using them correctly and it's not derogatory.
It's a lot of balls. It's like the equivalent of a lot of balls, right?
Well, my new thing is to grow some ovaries. Oh. I don't tell people to grow balls. I tell them to grow ovaries. Grow some ovaries.
I mean, you can't really grow body parts anyway.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to stop pretending that means something.
That's true.
You know.
Okay, I can get behind that. I can support that. Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Well, she was great. Thank you for bringing her. Thank you for being here another amazing week, Amelia. And we will see you next week. To learn more about Mary Baker Eddy, see pictures of her and quotes from this episode, head on over to broadsyoushouldknow.com. While you're there, you can click on over to the About page and read more about Amelia and me. Our bios, photos, links to all of our cool stuff, all right there. Are you following Broads You Should Know on social? We are on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube at Broads You Should Know and Twitter at BYSK Podcast. Like, subscribe, comment, that helps new listeners to find us. You know what also helps new listeners to find us? When you share your favorite episode with your friends or family or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. To suggest a broad, fill out the form on our website or email us at broadsyoushouldknow.com. Broads You Should Know is produced by me, Sarah Gorski, and edited by Chloe Sky with original music by Darren Callahan. Finally, if you really enjoyed the story of Mary Baker Eddy, then you might be interested in a few other broads we've covered in the past, particularly our religious broads who made big movements in religion. That includes Mother Teresa, St. Catherine of Siena, and St. Teresa of Avila. See you next week for another Broad You Should Know.